Take your Bibles, please. Psalm 37, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Lord, this week, many, many, many times, I asked you to be a blessing to your people. Lord, I'm not sure I could get up and preach a good sermon. Not sure I could get up and give a truth that was mine. But I sure can give your people what you have given me to give them. I pray that you would do it through me, give me your power. And God, may we work together as a team to help your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Psalm 37 is a very special psalm to me, but it's probably one of the most misunderstood, probably the most mistaken passages of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Most people think that, and by the way, and I'm not upset, but that comes later. But I don't get upset, but a lot of people get mad at God because they say, well, I want this and I prayed for this and God didn't give it to me, so I don't like God anymore. God is, and I've said this over and over and over again, especially on our prayer series on Wednesday nights, God is not a genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle and ask for what you want and shazam, there it is. God doesn't work that way, and that's not what you say. Well, that's what the Bible says. He said, delight myself in him. I can ask him what I want and get what I want. That's not what Psalm 37:4 says. We live in a world of strife and frustration. People can't get along with each other, and it seems like everyone is always upset. Did you go to the stores since Thursday? I didn't, but I've seen it on the news. There were people getting pushed and shoved. I read a report in Fox News yesterday or Friday morning, it was yesterday. Some lady, I think it was in New York, I'm not sure which state, but a lady used a stun gun to get to the front of the line to get what she wanted. There was bodies laying everywhere in her path. New idea for grocery shopping, amen? Attention, Kmart shoppers. No. I mean, people are just nuts. Now, wait a minute. We live in a world where we can't even drive without fear of something they call road rage. We have parents frustrated with children. No. And children frustrated with parents. No. We have husbands frustrated with wives. Not in my house. And we have wives frustrated with husbands. We won't talk about that. We have employers frustrated with employees. We have employees frustrated with employers. We have government frustrated with citizens. And citizens totally fed up with government. We have church members frustrated with their pastor. And we have pastors frustrated with their church members. We have customers frustrated with merchants. And merchants frustrated with customers. We have older people frustrated with the young people. And we have young people frustrated with the older people. We have doctors frustrated with patients. And patients frustrated with doctors. We have teachers frustrated with students and students frustrated with teachers. We have players frustrated with coaches and coaches frustrated with players. Our generation is almost in total frustration. Now, the things we want either or we feel we want, we can't get what we want. And that breeds frustration. Let me say it this way. Frustration is the prevention of the fulfilling of desire. You get frustrated when you want something you cannot get. I have been hunting since I could walk in the woods with my dad without holding his hand. I have probably been in the woods out hunting with my dad since I was 4 or 5 years old. I didn't even get to take a BB gun the first few years. I just was the dog. We'd go rabbit hunting. He'd have a shotgun. My brother was 4 years older than me. He'd have a shotgun. Say, what were you? I was the rabbit dog. I was the one that had to go into all the brush piles and stand up and jump up and down chasing the rabbits out so they could shoot them. But I got to go hunting, amen? I didn't go and chase them, but I'd get in there and shake them out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Any of you men that's ever hunted with dogs, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, my soul. Then I graduated. I got to take the BB gun. Then I got to take the air. We got fancy, and my dad got me an air rifle. You know, one of those Crossman 10-pumper jobs? I was out hunting one day. He's got a shotgun. My brother's got a shotgun. I got a Crossman BB gun. I'm walking. I said, Dad, there's a rabbit. He said, no, there's not. I said, yes, there is. I said, it's right there. It's about as far as Brother Lowther is from me. He said, where? I said, it's right there. He said, no, it's not. He said, prove it. I said, okay. I pulled up my Crossman air rifle. Pop! I walked over and picked up the rabbit. I got the only rabbit of the day, and I had a BB gun, amen? Now, wait a minute. I've been doing some hunting this year. I've done some bow hunting. I got to kill a couple with my bow, nothing with horns on it. I saw three of the biggest bucks on one of the properties I hunt that I've seen since I've been in West Virginia. I could see them, but they weren't close enough to shoot with a bow. You talk about frustrating. Here I am looking through my binos thinking, if I just had my rifle, it's going to sit on my wall. And I got to let it walk. Because you can't shoot a bow at 140 yards. Well, you could shoot at it, but you're going to be looking a long time for your arrow after you shot. Now, wait a minute. That was frustration. Satisfaction came Friday evening when that 8-pointer stepped out at 280 plus yards. I thought, whew, God, that's a long shot. I'm going to wait. Maybe you'll bring it a little closer. No lie. I waited 10 minutes. That old buck out there feeding, and I knew what he was. I'd seen him many a time. I knew exactly which buck he was. I'd seen him up close and personal. He's not coming any closer. He's about 280-ish yards, 290 yards, and then he starts quartering away. And the Lord said, hey, stupid, it's been 10 minutes, now or never. I said, okay, God. I pulled up the old OT-6, and I beat it down on him, and I squeezed off that trigger, and it's like somebody dropped a pile of rocks. Wham! He hit the ground, and I'm looking through my scope. I said, glory! I mean, I screaming glory to God in the woods, amen? Say why? Because that wasn't me. That was God. I had satisfaction, not frustration. Something I had wanted, I now had. Up until then, it was total frustration. I wanted it. I could see it, but I couldn't get it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Frustration is not having fulfilled what you desire. I see Christians who live discouraged, defeated, and angry at God because they're frustrated with God because they don't get what they want. Satisfaction can be defined as this: the balance of desire and possession. When you balance out your desires with your possessions. Ladies, you remember that first apartment you and your husband had? It's not like what you live in today. My wife and I and my parents and my daughter, we were talking, recently in the last week or two. My wife and I's first apartment was about twice the size of this platform. We had a little studio apartment. And I mean little studio apartment. I mean tiny studio apartment. And the train tracks that run through Indiana and the northwest Indiana area, they're constantly busy. Well, the train tracks were about from here to the parking lot from our apartment. I'd get home from work at 1 o'clock in the morning. I spent the first night in that thing. The air conditioner didn't work, so it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 90-some degrees outside. I got the sliding glass door open. I finally chug in after work. It's a little after 1 in the morning. I lay down. I just fell asleep, and at 1:30 in the morning, I see this light about this big around coming through the living room, bedroom area of our studio apartment, and I hear this, and I mean, I had rapture practice. Where do you run with a train coming through your building? It didn't come through the building, but it sure felt like it. You know, you can feel the ground going like this. It took a little while to get used to that. The bathroom was so small, you couldn't even get in there yourself. I'm not kidding. You could brush your teeth from the tub and use the washroom. I mean, all three were right there. There wasn't an area big enough in there to put a rug. I'm even talking one of those little throw rugs. I mean, no matter which way you put it, it was too big. I mean, you could, it was bad. You know, our stove was half the size. You know, we had one of those apartment size stoves. You know, it's got two burners and an oven that's about that wide, and that's it. And about a half-size refrigerator in there. That's all the bigger it was. And the sink had one bay in it that was about half as wide as this pulpit. We had all the counter space in the world you could want. We had about as much counter space as I have pulpit. I'm not kidding. Now, wait a minute. But it was ours. We were happy. Now, if I had to take my wife and put her back into that apartment after having owned two houses, it wouldn't be a good thing. You say, why? It fulfilled the need then, but the desires have increased, and to balance those desires, it takes more. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, stay with me for a moment. This means to be satisfied, you must either get all you want or want all you have. That's it. There's only two ways to balance the equation. Get all you want, or you decide you're going to want all you have. Most everyone in life will never get to the place where you can live with no restraints and have everything you want. Very few people in life have everything they want. But all people can balance the equation by wanting what you have. Wise people, especially Christians, don't allow themselves to develop appetites for things that they cannot fulfill. Let me say that again. Wise people, especially Christians, do not allow themselves to develop appetites for things they cannot have or fulfill. The wise person allows his desires to stay within the will of God and not his own will. If we keep our desires within God's will, God will help us fulfill the desires, and therefore we won't live frustrated. The biggest problem or reason people get frustrated is they want something they cannot have. I'm going to make a statement that may surprise you. Most people in this room don't have extravagant taste. And you're okay with what you have, but you still live frustrated. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you want what you give. You realize that there are husbands and wives in this room that live with frustration with each other because he wants her to love him like he loves her. And she wants him to love her the way she loves him. And you live in frustration because you want what you give. Y'all following me? Now, listen. People treat and give. They love. They give appreciation. They express their love in different ways. And when it's not expressed back to you the way you express it, you get frustrated. Let me show you what I mean. Let me take it out of the home and put it where we all live. An employer or an employee works extra hard to accomplish a task for an employer. He puts a little extra time in. He puts a little extra effort into this thing. He works extra hard. And he helps reach a goal that was actually beyond them, but they get the job done. He wants extra compensation for the extra work put into it. And sometimes the employer says, uh-uh, that's what I hired you to do. You say, that's not fair. And you quit working as hard as you once did because you want back what you put into something. What you don't realize is that employer's paid your salary all along. That's what he hired you to do. He hired you to become more and more and more and more productive for him. He says, I have invested in you for just this moment. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
But the average employee quits working hard because they didn't get extra compensation for the extra that they did. That's wrong. That's wrong. You let the satisfaction be that you finished that job and you made that. By the way, when you quit complaining about it, I've watched many a man move up the ladder. The ones that move up aren't the ones that complain about the people above them. The ones that move up are the ones that just do their job and don't care what goes on above or below them. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. It's amazing how fast you move up when you're not looking at somebody else. Now, God is not some genie in the bottle that you rub it and get every desire that you have. God says when we delight in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. Now watch this. When we change our wanter, he gives us what he wants. The key to all of this is how close to God are you? How close to God are you? The closer to him you get, the more he can trust your desires. Do you know I trust my wife implicitly? If she said, I would like to have, guess what? I'd get it. My wife doesn't see everything in the world and say, boy, I'd like to have that. Boy, I'd like to have that. Boy, I'd like to have that. Well, there's times we're joking. We'll drive down the road and she'll say, boy, see that house over there? Whew, that's a big one. I'd say, you like one like that? She said, no, I got to clean that. Like my house. Oh, it's pretty. It's nice, but like where I'm at. See, somebody like that, I can trust her desires. The person that wants everything they see, you can't trust their desires. And the closer she and I have become over 24 and a half years, the more I trust her. Guess what? The closer to God you get, the more he says, you want the things I want, so I can trust your desires. Sometimes God doesn't trust you with desires because you want what you want and not what God wants. And if you don't get what you want, I'm going to take my toys and go home on God. You'd spank your children for that attitude. Guess what? God's going to smack you upside the head one of these days. You don't have to live in total frustration. Today, I want to show you how to balance your desires and your possessions. I don't want you to have just what you want. Listen to this statement. I want you to have what God wants for you. my son this Thursday, he couldn't wait any longer. And he finally asked a young lady to marry him. And bless her poor pea-picking little heart, she said yes. Poor girl. My son Josh got engaged. Now, wait a minute. I warned him. I said, son, you are about to enter the hardest time of life called engagement. You're so close to having what you want, but cannot have it yet. I said, be careful. I got to tell you something funny. Thursday morning, I was sitting in a tree stand. About 7 o'clock, my phone buzzed, and it was Josh. About 6:45, he said, Dad, is getting engaged like hunting? Once you pull the trigger, the fun's over and the work begins. I said, no, son. I said, it's like the ministry. It's fun and work all rolled together, and just enjoy it all. Now, he was humorously trying to express, this is not going to be all fun, is it? Now, wait a minute. Let me give you a point here. Number one, frustration comes when we desire to give, when we desire to have given to us the same type of love that we give. People get frustrated when they desire to be loved back the way they love. Folks, even our Savior, he looked at Peter and said, Peter, lovest thou me? If you look at that word, he said, do you agape me? Do you love me the way I love you with the love of God? Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That word love is the word phileo, or the word fondness. He said, you know I like you. You know I love you, but probably not as deeply as you love me. I love my daughter. I love her, second only probably to my wife. And I'll, every once in a while, she'll text me in the middle of the day, Daddy, I love you. And I'll say this, I love you more. She'll say, no, you don't. I love you morest. And I'll come up with some ridiculous word that's about 15 adjectives put together into one. Say why? Because in my opinion, she cannot love me as much as I love her. It's impossible. Guess what? I love my wife to the point where I don't think she could love me as much as I love her. But I promise you this, you ask her, she loves me more than I could love her. Say why? We're not looking at what we give back. We're looking at loving each other. You start getting frustrated in a marriage, sir, when she's not giving back to you what you're trying to give to her. Ma'am, you start getting argumentative and frustrated when you want to be loved back the way you are loving. And frustration comes, by the way, frustration in love is because we're looking to get back what we have given. Parents, listen to this. You get frustrated with your children when they don't love you back the way you love them. Now, it's real easy when they're cute and cuddly and little, but you wait till they become teenagers. Mamas, you're going to feel like you got the second coming of Satan himself in your house. And all of a sudden, you want to hug on him and kiss on him in public, and he's, yeah, I don't want that, Mom. Oh, it was okay before. Yeah, but I'm big boy now. By the way, boys, when you're too busy to hug your mama, you're too big. I'm 46 years old, and I still go up and hug and kiss my mom. Now, I'll do other things and antagonize her too, but that's just part of being a boy, amen? But just so you know, it's not sissy to get hugged and kissed by your mama. By the way, dads, it's not wrong for you to love on your son. Now, listen to me carefully. I don't think it's always the wisest thing to walk up in the middle of 140 people at church, put your arms around him and plant one on his cheek and say, I love you, son. Okay. He will rebel at that, just so you know. And I happen to believe I might be on his side a little stronger than yours at that moment. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to do, but sometimes it's not the right place. Y'all doing okay?
Amen.
Sometimes you have to be wise about it. By the way, children, understand your mom and dad love you. And you need to learn how to express your love back to them. Hey, teenage young man, you need to learn how to express love to your mom. Don't just yell at her. I know you want to be your own man, but guess what? Yelling at her and telling her no and doing it your way isn't the way to do it. Why not take her on a date? Instead of wanting to date some little twitty little girl, why don't you date your mama every once in a while? Boy, that's good stuff. Employers get frustrated when employees do not love the work or the product that they put out like the employer does. Now I'm going to meddling. Some of you need to learn to love your job like your boss loves the job so that you can do the job the way the boss wants it done. Some of you have lost your love for your work and you wonder why the boss is frustrated with you. For 3 years, I worked in a machine shop in Valparaiso, Indiana, called Task Force Tips. Stuart McMillan was the owner, president, CEO of the company. We made fire hose nozzles. I quit working there in 1990. I haven't worked for Stuart in 23 years plus. Do you know, to this day, every time I see a fire engine or a fire hose nozzle, I know what a TFT nozzle looks like, and I still say, I used to make those. Say why? I decided I would love the product and the place. He helped pay my bills. I ought to put back into it what he was putting into me. I still get a little pitter-patter in my heart, thinking, I wonder if I made parts for that thing. Probably been so long, there ain't no way possible. But at one point in time, I could say that. I wonder whose house and whose lives were changed because we did the work the right way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you need to get back to the love of that job, not just the love of a paycheck. Get back to loving the work that you do, and the paycheck will take care of itself. We got people that are so wound up against their employer that they don't work like they should. And if they'd learn to love the work like the employer loves the work, they would do okay. Boy, that's good stuff. Love does not need the same type of love back. Love just needs to express itself. Love does not need to be loved back. Love just needs to express itself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, he said, I'll provide the giving, and it's out there. Now my love will be more satisfied in whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But guess what? God has more people that don't receive his love than do. But God is satisfied and not frustrated because he's satisfied in giving. Now, he sure likes it when somebody says, boy, I'd like to have that. I'd like to get saved. He says, hot diggity dog, let's throw a party in heaven.
Well, that's good.
He said, I'll make it worth your while. I got all kinds of things you don't even know about. I have things you can start asking me for, and I'll give you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, if you'll just ask me, I can do it. And the closer you get to me, I'll put desires in you that you didn't even know you could have. And the closer you get to me, the more I'll trust your desires because you'll want what I want for you. But it only happens because God satisfied himself in giving love, not receiving it back. Can you imagine how mad you would be if you were God? Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
God could never be satisfied because he is love and no one can love him the way he loves. Do you realize that God would be the most frustrated being in the universe if he expected to be loved back the way he is loved? Nobody can. You add all of the people in all of the world that has ever lived on this earth, combine all that love together, it still does not equal the love of God to each and every individual. There is no way God could be satisfied in being loved. He just satisfied himself in giving love. That is why so many religions, and I'll use the word religion or false religion, offer their children to gods. They will sacrifice their children to an idol to show their supreme love for that false god. They want to give just like God gave. Guess what? Doesn't work. By the way, church friends get frustrated with each other when they do not have expressed back to them the way they have expressed to someone else. Then they get this nobody loves me mentality. Well, nobody did this when I was in need. Number one, they may not have known you were in need. And number two, maybe they didn't have the wherewithal. And number three, even if they had both of those and they didn't do it, guess what? If you did it to get something back, you really didn't love when you did it.
Yes, sir. That's good.
Why are we looking for what we can get? How about what we can give? You're looking at one happy preacher. I get to give everywhere I go, and it's fun. I get to help people in need. Now, just so you know, the church is not the government. You don't call and get everything that you want. You would be surprised this time. It's amazing to me. I get phone calls during the church services of people calling and asking for money and help to pay their bills and help with this and help with that. They think because we're in church that, I think it's funny, they think I'm going to answer the phone during a church service. Okay. Husbands and wives get frustrated when they don't get back what they've given to each other. I'm going to borrow a term from Brother Heil, so if you don't like it, blame him, don't blame me. We have almost gotten to ourselves where in our marriages we become mental homosexuals. Men, your wife is not another man. Don't expect her to express her love back to you the way you do. And ladies, he is not another woman. Guess what? He's not going to express his love to you the way you do. Why do you want to make him become a woman to express his love? Hey, fellas, why do you want her to be a man to express her love? That's a little weird. Now, you get mad at the sodomites, but guess what? You're almost wanting your wife to think like a man. God says that we show our love. Listen to this. The best way to show love is by obey. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. And boy, I've got to hurry. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2. The Bible says, by this we know that we love, watch this, the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Wow. When God says love, he says, keep my commandments. When God says love, he said, follow the rules. Parents who let their children do whatever they want do not love their children. Parents who make their children follow the rules and obey are parents that love their children. They may not like it, but guess what? You make them do it anyway. Everybody doing okay? Husbands that love their wives obey the rules and the boundaries of marriage. Wives that love their husbands obey and follow the rules of marriage God's way. By the way, that's why the Sodomites aren't even happy with their queer marriages. Now they want the right to divorce legally. They haven't even gotten the right to marry in all states. Now they're wanting the right to divorce. Say why? They're totally frustrated. They don't even know which bathroom to use. Can I tell you something? Child of God, you know why Christians aren't satisfied? Because they don't obey. You get frustrated with church, you get frustrated with God, you get frustrated with me because you're not obeying. The happiest Christians are those Christians that are obeying God. Period. End of discussion. My biggest job is to get you to fall in love with God and obey Him. You don't have to obey me. You're right. Obey God. Obey God. Quit desiring to be loved back the way that you love. You'll never be satisfied if you do. You will live in total frustration if you're expecting somebody to love you back the way you love. And some of you live in total frustration. You're angry at me, you're angry at your spouse, you're angry at your children, you're confused, and everything in life is confusing to you. You're like a termite in a yo-yo. Because nobody loves me back. Nobody loves me back. They don't understand me. Well, why don't you quit wanting to be understood and start understanding somebody else? Number next. You get frustrated when you want people to use the same kind of logic that you use. You get frustrated when you desire to have given back to you the same love that you give. You get frustrated when you want the same type of expressions of love given back to you. Number three, you get frustrated when you want people to use the same kind of logic that you use. Do you know why I use so many different types of illustration in a sermon? So that I can reach everybody. Good. I work hard at reaching all levels of people and all different levels of thinking. I have people in here with PhDs. For those of you that didn't graduate from high school, that's post-hole digger. Okay? Or as Brother Hiles would say, pretty heavy date. PhD, they have earned doctorates. Great. I think you'd be shocked. There's probably over a dozen people in this room, probably closer to a dozen and a half, that have advanced college education. Now, wait a minute. I have others. You didn't finish high school. There's people in this room haven't even gotten your GED yet. And you're 60 years old. I'm not mad at you. By the way, I've got to be able to relate and help everybody in their thinking at all those levels. You know, not everyone thinks the same way. Guess what? Men and women don't think the same way. No. Women like comfort food. Men like comfort food too. Say, what's comfort food to a man? Anything he can put in his face and shove it down the hatch. Ladies pick out their clothes by mood. Well, I don't think I feel like that color today. Wait a minute, I never felt a color. I can't even see it, let alone feel it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? As long as it doesn't stand itself up in the corner, a guy can throw it on, he doesn't care. And if it's my hunting clothes, don't you touch them. We won't talk about that. Say, why? Because those are my hunting clothes. Say, don't you clean your hunting clothes after every time you go? No! And you don't wash them with soap? Then they're not clean. Good, don't wear them. But I got meat on the table. How about you? I know what I'm doing. Now, don't ask my wife and daughter to be around my hunting clothes. They don't like it. I throw them in the washer myself after the season's over. We're okay. Now, wait a minute. You say, oh, no way. Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff up against my skin, but my outer clothing, no, it doesn't get cleaned through the whole season. You say, but it's got mud. Yeah, it smells like outside. That's what the deer smell. Oh, I can't believe you. Well, there's meat in the freezer. Do you know that adults and teenagers don't think the same way? Oh, stark revelation. And seventh graders don't even think. Period. End of discussion. You spend 12 years teaching those critters to think, and they go to bed one night, wake up, and their brain, what little was there, rolled out their ear and cannot find it. And you're thinking, whose child is this? This is not the same kid I put to bed last night. Matter of fact, it's not the same kid that woke up. Do you know that parents and children, little children, don't think the same way? You know, a child has a totally different thinking than an adult. You know, that's why they want to touch the stove and touch the iron and put, you know, sniff the toaster with their nose till they burn it off and do all kinds of those crazy things. Say why? Because they don't think like you think. They smell the toast and want to get closer to it. Oh! Now, they don't do it twice, usually. This is another one of those deep truths. Are you ready? Do you know that employers don't think like employees? Say why? Because they would not be employers if they did. Everybody wants to get mad at the bosses because they make too much money. Well, if it wasn't for them making money, you wouldn't have a job, sweetie. Somebody's got to know how to make the money to provide the jobs. Boy, that's good stuff. Quit forcing people to think your way. I'm going to make a statement here. You know, your way is not the only way to do something. Do you know that your way is not the only way to get a job done right, even? I got about 4 or 5 electricians in this room right now. If I asked each of them to wire a different wall in this auditorium, each one of those walls would be wired differently. But I'll guarantee all 4 walls would be wired to code. They would just be done differently. Is any one of them wrong? No. They just have their own way to get there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. There are times that we force people into doing it our way. And we get frustrated when it's not done our way. Ladies, if you're going to ask him to vacuum, guess what? It's not going to get done your way. You're lucky if it even gets done. He's not one of those rocket scientists that goes through and sees all the big chunks. He thinks that vacuum cleaner can suck up shoes and towels and everything else, all right? He's used to using a shop vac, amen? And it's gone. And you're thinking, no, don't. I know. But if you give it to him and it's not in his realm, guess what? It's not going to get done your way. Accept the fact that people are thinking rather than forcing them to think your way. Some of you go through hard times. And you've heard me counsel you this way. There's ladies, you've lost a baby. And I'll come to you and say, if you'll let me make an announcement in church so as not to embarrass you, I can help you with people not coming to you saying, how's the baby? How's the baby? How's things going? How's your pregnancy? I said, I can stop all the questions. Then I also say this. I tell them, people are going to try to express their love and concern to you. And people aren't real smart. They're going to tell you this, and they're going to tell you that, and sometimes they're even going to hurt you, but they don't mean to. And I tell them this. Look past the hurt and respect the fact that at least they said something. Amen. Forget what they say and just remember they tried to say something. I said, because they don't know what to say. Just accept the fact they said something and just forget what they say. Some of you are going to go through the death of a loved one, and somebody's going to say something, and they mean it to help you, and it ends up hurting you. Okay, forget what they said and just accept the fact that they said something. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes you have to look past what was said and just accept the fact that they tried. Boy, some of you live frustrated because they didn't say something to you or do something for you the way you would have done it. Maybe you would have provided food or a meal for somebody, and somebody didn't do that for you, and now you're all frustrated, but you had 15 or 20 people express their love and concern. You're just focused on the fact that somebody didn't bring something by your house. Some of you looked right past all the expressions of love because you were looking for it your way. Are you tired of being frustrated? The world is frustrated with religion. And I'll tell you why. Because they want to meet God their way. They want to meet God their way. Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Catholic Church changes every 3 to 5 years. Can I tell you why? Because they're trying to meet God their way. They're trying to fit God into man instead of man into God. They want to bring God down to man and do it man's way. And God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you do it my way. By the way, that's why he said his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. You don't need to live frustrated now or in eternity. I'll make a statement here. Hell will be full of frustrated people because they sincerely tried and they listened to what a church or some priest or preacher said as a way to get to God. And that's why Matthew 7 says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we cast out devils? And I named and many wonderful works. And he says unto them, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting darkness. They were sincere in trying to do it, but they were doing it man's way and not God's way. And hell will be total frustration. Because people honestly thought they were doing what they were supposed to do, but they didn't do it his way. That's it. And I don't want you frustrated for eternity. I don't want you burning in hell. By the way, some of you are going to be frustrated when you first get to heaven. Because God won't fit into your schedule. Guess what? He's not on your schedule. He's not on your schedule. I'm just practicing up for heaven, amen? I'd like to not live frustrated. By the way, I don't get frustrated. Say why? I've tried to balance out my desires, my possessions. What I have, what I give. And I learned to let those balance out. I have somebody that often will give me Skittles. I've got Skittles. I've been putting a hurting on them, though. That's a way somebody expresses their love to me. I had a family recently. They gave me a sheets card for coffee. Glory to God. That was an expression of love. Should I get upset because they gave me a sheets card versus Skittles? No. Got some little children in here. Every once in a while, they'll color me a picture. Most of the time I can recognize what it is. But even the ones I can't recognize, guess what? When they hand it to me and say, I love you, preacher. Don't take this the wrong way, but that means as much or more to me than the sheets card. Say why? Because that was an expression of love. They expressed it a different way. Some of you big tough men that walk up, grab my hand and say, love you, preacher. Whew. That means just as much to me as the Skittles or more. Now, I like the Skittles. Keep them coming. But may I say this? Some of you from time to time will send me a text and say, preacher, I love you. That means a lot. If that it means just as much to me as the person that says, "Preacher, I need help." We work through a problem together. And we get through that problem and see God work, and wow. Let's not worry about what we get. How about we just give? Let's decide we're not going to live frustrated. There are people in this room, you have been frustrated way too long. Maybe you're frustrated with your spouse. Maybe you're frustrated with your kids. Kids, maybe you're frustrated with your mom and dad, and I've just told you why today. Maybe you're frustrated at work, ready to throw in the towel. Why don't you pick the towel up and decide you're going to get the love back? I don't know what the need is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say today, "Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die"? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know"? Would you raise your hand? All right, we've got some little ones. Who'd say, "Brother Bush, there's an area or maybe multiple areas of my life I've been living in frustration. Today, that truth helped me"? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands.